Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. The Great Commandment is our sermon title. Man's greatest need is to return to God, his Creator, to return to his Word, his instruction for a blessed life, and to return to understand his true purpose for his existence, his motivation for life. The Jews in Jesus' time had been groping in the dark, as it were, being entrusted with the holy oracles of God that was given to them over the last 1,500 years since Moses' time, and written also through the many prophets over the years in the Old Testament. And through this time, the Jews, through their rabbinic schools, have tried to crystallize the Word of God, what they thought to be the instruction of Scripture. And what they did was that they managed to extract 613 laws from the first five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, in which they categorized 248 as positive laws, and the rest of it, the 365, negative laws. And then they tried to even categorize it in terms of severity and impact upon Jewish living, Jewish life. And to them, their greatest challenge was to come to understand the gist of the Holy Writ. What does the law of God really teach us? And therefore, in their hearts, this was the ultimate question in theology that requires a clear answer. And they knew in their own hearts that they do not know for certain what God requires of them. And this is the question that the lawyers of the Pharisees posed to our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, we have had this barrage of conversation between the various figures in Israel's religious life. The Herodians came to Jesus. Then you see the Sadducees. Remember, last week we spoke about the resurrection life. And now they are going to ask him a very clear question concerning the law and the understanding of it. And verse 36 gives to us this ultimate question in theology. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And you see our Lord Jesus Christ giving the answer to this question. He will clear all the doubts for all posterity if we will only humble ourselves before God and learn it. Jesus said this in our, which we have recited in our memory verse, from verses 37 to 40. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so what is Jesus saying here? He is giving to us the summary of the law, the sum total of it, the essence of God's law. It is given to us, I present to you, in two thoughts. the two relationships and the one motivation. What are the two relationships? Man in relation to God and man in his relation to his fellow man, his neighbor. And what is that one motivation? It is love. God's love. A supernatural love that God gives to his people to love unconditionally, to love sacrificially, to love sincerely, and to love wholeheartedly. And Jesus says, by this will hang all the law and the prophets. By this, we would get a big picture that undergirds all the laws that God ever give. This is the grandest and apex of all human knowledge and the practice of it. The grandest motive for human existence. This is the summary of all summaries concerning life goals. If you want to know how, what is it that, what is the motivation, what is the purpose of life? Well, you would see it here. Summarize for us. The instruction must come from the Maker himself. And Jesus was there to provide it for us. You see, if you want to see the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, the glory that Israel has seen when God brought them out of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They saw the Shekinah glory of God. And that Shekinah glory was there when Solomon dedicated the first temple. They saw the very glory of God in its fullness, because Israel were a special people. They were the people of God. And God manifested his power, his presence with them, in order that they may know, they may see, and they may understand who this God is. And after the temple was destroyed, this glory never returned to Jerusalem. But here in our text, we see this glory re-entering the temple without fanfare in the person of Jesus Christ. And now he's going to provide that glorious instruction to his people. You see, as you read the text, the Lord wants us to see the glory that is given within. You know, Jesus did not have a glowing face when he entered the temple. He was not surrounded by cherubims. There was not a chariot throne whereby he would be ushered to sit upon. He just walked in with a bunch of fishermen and a tax collector, Matthew, who has written this book. The Shekinah glory of God will never return in its full manifestation since Christ's ascension upon earth to heaven. And that glory he wanted us to see through the eyes of faith, through the evidence that were given by the prophets and that is written therein, to help us to see that this is the Messiah of the world. Today, if you were to read the newspapers, and the knowledge in the universities, you will not be able to come to the knowledge of God except it be revealed to you in the Bible. And so Jesus comes and Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And here in these words that he is giving to us is a summary of the light of life, wherewith, if we learned well, we would learn how to live our lives to the honor and glory of his name. And you remember Jesus just the day before came into the temple and he kicked over the tables and the money changers were enraged with him. He took a whip and he beat upon them and he said to them, you have made my house, my father's house, a den of thieves. And he said to them, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then some hours later, you see our Lord being rejected. How he would be despised, he would be crucified. And thank God, we know that he is coming again. And he will come and he will physically step to the Mount of Olives and he is going to re-enter the temple and he is going to inaugurate his program upon planet Earth as the King. And while we wait for his return, he would show to us how we ought to live our lives. And this is the instruction that he said to us. He picked out two verses to summarize for us the whole law. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Just two verses from the law, he says, would summarize all the law for you. And he gave it to them. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And Leviticus 18, verse 19. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And so Jesus is emphasizing to us the purpose of our existence. You know, we are very much geared towards a materialistic purpose of life. Right? Our whole goal, well, the lie of life as we can see, right, through the eyes of the world, is to get economic success. Right? But here our Lord tells us that our purpose in life is very different. Love God and love the people around us. And if you analyze carefully what Jesus is saying to us, he's basically summarizing for us from the Word of God, namely the Ten Commandments, the moral law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. What is the heart? The heart is the call of your being. You are you. That heart that God gives to you. And what is the mind? Well, that is the intellectual part of you. And it includes your disposition, your attitude, what you think. And then the soul. What is that? Well, the ability to communicate with God. you know, God gives to us that consciousness in our soul of our very environment. The animals have a soul. But God gives to us a consciousness in our soul to know the living God. And there He tells us that this is what we are to do. And He summarizes it in this way. From the Ten Commandments, if you were to go to the Ten Commandments, you would be able to see what the Lord is speaking about. The first five commandments describe our relationship with God. And the last five, our relationship with man. The being of God, the worship of God, the name of God, the day of God, the representative of God. You see this in the notes that we have given to you. And then you see our duty to men. The body of men, the morality of men, the property of men, the personality of men, the prosperity of men. And this is what God is saying to us. There are two relationships that are vital and that must be the focus of your life's goals. It will guide you through life. I give you an example. The example of Jacob and Esau. What happened? Well, Jacob stole the birthright of Esau. What happened? Well, Jacob saw that this is more important than that relationship with his brother. And he schemed and he stole the brother's birthright. And he had to learn grave lessons. God sent him deceivers. God sent him a great deceiver in his life in the person of Laban. He was deceived several times. Well, as we study the law of God, God wants us to understand and know how we ought to live by the relationships that we carry. And the first that He tells us is the relationship between us and our God. You see, we have been made by God. He gives to us our being. He is our creator. And He has made us men in order that He may share His love with us. If I may put it, if He may share His abundance with us. You know, when God loved man, well, He loved us in a very special way. Because He made us in His own image, in His own likeness, and He showered upon us His creation. You know, in the garden before the fall, God gave to us, to Adam and Eve, or to Adam, to name the animals in the creation. Oh, those are special, right? God saw men as special. He showered His abundance, His love upon man. And that's why, you know, in the commandments, He tells us that we are to love Him. And we are to love the creatures whom He has made in His image. The two relationships, the one motivation. The one motivation is love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You are to love your neighbor as you love yourself. As we have said before, right? We love ourselves the most. We really know how to love ourselves. And the Lord does not demand us to love our neighbor more than ourselves, but He demands that we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And this is what He gives to us from His law. And you see, but you see that biblical love is one of the most lacking elements in the world today and throughout human history. In fact, Jesus revealed this truth to us before His ascension. He says that because iniquity shall abound, the love, this God-given type of love, shall be cold, shall be waxed cold. This is the word that is used there to describe a sense of a lack of such love in the lives of His people. And as we look at this law that the Lord gives to us, does it not cause yourself to ask, how do you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? You remember Peter? He was with the Lord, and he had a heart to love God. And he said to his Lord, I will love you all the way. But what happened when the testing came? Well, he denied his Lord. He denied his Lord 3 times. He could not love his Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he, you see, is someone who has given his heart over to God. Why is it so? It must cause us to think, isn't it, concerning this love. And the message would not be complete if we did not touch upon this. We realize that we are to love, and we know we are to love. But how do we love? That is the question. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says here, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. It tells us that this love, this that is given to us in the believer's life, is supernaturally given by God. When we come to Jesus Christ and received Him as our Lord and our Savior, the Holy Spirit gives to us that love. That love is shed abroad in our lives. And, you know, as you think about that love, we see it in display in the man who gave these words. Jesus, the Son of God, who came personally, who took away all His glory that was due to Him, and was willing to be made a servant. You know what a servant is like. We don't want to live as a servant, right? The servant is always, if you look at an earthly servant, a hard life. But our Lord came exactly like that. As a servant, what was He doing? Well, He came in order to win us back to God. And the cross was the display of that love. He loved us so much that He went to the cross to save us. John chapter 15, if you were to turn there, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You see the display of that love through the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is God Himself. You don't see the glory that was due to Him in His person. But He is the very God. And this love that the Bible tells us that is shared abroad in our hearts is like an injection given directly to our bloodstream to produce its effect. To give to us this divine source, divine nature of this love. And the Apostle Paul said that this love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. He says that this love is what God gives to us, that enables us to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And this is also the love that enables us to live, to love our neighbor. The first covenant family that was set up by Adam and Eve was devastated when we see one sibling killing another. Cain killed Abel. It must have grieved the hearts of the parents to see such devastation. And the Bible says that Cain was very wroth, very angry. What happened? If we can perform an open heart surgery to examine the heart of Cain, you would see what the apostle described as the works of the flesh, the work of sin. And you notice that this devastated this first home. And you know, the Lord wants us to produce this special kind of love that enables us to love Him and to love our fellow men. To love the day of God. To love to come to the house of God. To come for prayer meeting. To come to be assembled with His people as we see the day approaching. To love communion with Him. To love our time with God. You know, we'll relish our quiet time with God daily. We would not hurry, you know, and brush through and miss our communion time with God. That is when we are able to find strength from God to live this life. That the Holy Spirit may fill us, that we may learn how to love. And this is done through prayer. When we come to God to deliver us, to give to us strength to love, to deliver us from our self-sufficiency. You see, God has made us weak. Oftentimes, when we analyze our own life, we oftentimes do the things that we ought not to do. And the Bible tells us that we realize that we are weak. We need God. And He sent us His Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God gives to us His grace to fill us with His love in order that we may know how to live this life. And we must accept our weakness. Paul calls it our infirmity. And for the Apostle Paul, he was given a thorn in the flesh, so that perpetually he was weak. But perpetually he became dependent upon his God. And perpetually he was made powerful through that dependence upon God. We cannot live this life on our own, by our own strength. The Lord said, through the words of the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The Lord gave to us the ability to love through the blessed Holy Spirit that is in us. And the Bible tells us also that the Holy Spirit prays on our behalf. Romans 8:26. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You realize that we cannot live this life of love except first we become a child of God. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And when we crucify ourselves to the cross in order that God and His power may fill us. Jesus gave the law to this lawyer of the Pharisee. And in the parallel text in Luke chapter 10, verse 28, he gives that closing remark. He says to him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." So here is given to us the greatest commandment to undergird human life, human existence. The two relationships, the one motivation: love God and love men as ourselves. This is the whole duty of men. And God wants us to be able to take time to cultivate that love and to cultivate that two relationship. Your relationship with your Heavenly Father and the relationship you have with the people around you. Well, it begins with our own family members, isn't it? With our own spouses, with our children, with our friends, with our colleagues in the workplace. The Lord wants us to be that light to shine for Him. And He gave to us this great summary of the law. I gave to you a sheet of paper, two sides, that summarizes for us this truth. May you take it home. And if you look at the end there, what is that bridge between God and man? It is Jesus Christ. We must first have a living relationship with Him. Our sins must first be forgiven. If not, we cannot love. If not, our love is the worldly kind of love. given by two words in the Bible, eros, which is a possessive kind of love, human love, and another word, phileo, another kind of love, where it is a love between friends. Well, that was what Peter said to our Lord when the Lord said to him, "Peter, wilt thou love me?" What did Peter respond? "Will you love me with God's kind of love?" Peter responded and said, "I will love you with a phileo kind of love." Well, between friends, no. God wants us to love Him by His love. And He wants us to cultivate that love. And He gives to us that blueprint how we ought to do so. And we are to cultivate it through first our relationship with Him, with our God, and then having understood and having been filled with the Spirit of God, then we are able to come and encounter the people around us. May God help us. May His mercy abide to guide and lead us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for giving to us the great commandment out of Thy law, to love Thee with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. O Lord, we realize that we are inadequate. We realize that we cannot fulfill Thy law except Thy grace would undergird us. O Lord, we want to come before Thee to ask that Thou would fill this congregation of Thy people with the fullness of Thy Spirit, that they may show forth the true, genuine love that comes from heaven. O Lord, may Thou help us. For we are weak, but Thou art strong. So may Thy power come and mightily fill Thy people, that we may love Thee and love the people around us. O God, we thank Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.